Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org. All right, so I thought we'd start off today, as we get in the message, I think we need a hearing test. Some of you heard me because you laughed. I don't know, that was a joke, I guess, but it's funny, maybe. We'll see if it's funny, but I think it'd be a great time to start, so that's not what I want. Oh, Night Divine, here we go. So this is the title of my message is, Do You Hear Like He Hears? Yes, I'm doing a play off of the famous Christmas carol, Do You Hear What I Hear? But I think it's important when we get into the story that we ask ourselves some questions about why we celebrate what we celebrate. So we're going to be in the Christmas story, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. But I thought before we get into it, a hearing test is in order. It's about time, right? Everybody's like, no, just get over with it. Well, okay, here we go. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a phrase. And, well, the mic's down there, and I don't want to get off here because I might fall and trip. So I'm going to say a phrase, and I want you to repeat back to me what you heard. Really easy, right? Raise your hand. Steve, that's easy. I can do this. Hallelujah. Yes, you can. So here we go. Here's the first one here. Ready? The first one goes, a bicycle can't stand on its own because it's too tired. Okay, but did you hear me say this? Too tired. See where we're going with this? No? Great. But here we go anyway. Here's another one. Ready? This is hearing test number two. A chicken crossing the road is poultry in motion. Did you know that I said that? Poultry. No? Okay. Let's do hearing test number three. They just get better and better. Let the laughs commence. A lot of money is tainted. It ain't yours and ain't mine. It taint yours and it taint mine. Did you hear that? Raise your hand. Yeah, Stephen. No? Okay, lost you already. Well, there's just 19 more. Hearing test number four. Here we go. Once you've seen one shopping center, you've seen them all. Seen a mall. Wow. Let's just pray. One more. Last one. Bakers trade bread recipes on a need-to-know basis. No? I knew my daughter would get this. We have a really weird humor in our family. We think some things are funny when everybody else doesn't. So I thought that's a really an interesting way to start because really I think when it comes to the Christmas story, and I don't know if you're like me, every year I read it and something jumps out at me again. Right? Raise your hand if you've read the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. Raise your hand if you plan on it sometime between now and December 25th. Every time you read the story to me, something jumps out as this is a powerful, you know, a powerful moment. Somebody in this story hits me every single time. And this time, as I've read it, just amazing to me how an impossible God wants to always do impossible things, but through ordinary people. Right? The unthinkable God wants to do things that we can't even explain or imagine, but He wants to do it through people just like me and you. See, I like being a part of that story. Or raise your hand. Come on. If you want to be a part of that story. I thank the Lord that He can use ordinary, common, average people like me to do things that's beyond my own imagination. That's the Christmas story, isn't it? Or if you've read it, right? Shepherds? Wise men? Mary, Joseph, the whole lot of them. In this amazing story, God does impossible things through ordinary people. Hallelujah. And so, but this is what I saw this time as I was going through it. All of them had to make room to actually hear God, for God to use them. Every single one. And so I'm going to focus here in a little bit on Joseph. But let me tell you what, this fits for any of them. Read this story and see. For God to do some amazing things in people, we have to take a breath and we have to make room to hear God like we are supposed to hear God. Who wants to be used by God? But yeah, who wants to make room to actually hear God the way the Bible says that we need to hear? Right? So this is where we are going this morning. And so the passage that we're going to look at is Matthew 1, 18 through 21. So I'm going to read it here and follow along with me. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. I will read hopefully well enough. But it says this in verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law," that's an important thing to note there, "and yet did not want to expose her to a public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" You want to know why we celebrate this time of year? We celebrate this. He came to save us from our sins. Amen? 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 So the question is, do we hear today like Joseph heard here in this story? And so there's a few things that I want to bring out here. And some of these things might be rudimentary or elementary, but these first three things here, if we don't get this, we won't hear him. And this is the first one. God speaks to his people. If you're going to read the Christmas story, no, it's a story about God speaking to people. Right? It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said." Said. God speaks, right? It's really simple. A really simple word, but it's a powerful reminder. Guess what? God is always speaking to his people. You might say, "Well, Steve, I've never once had a dream." You have. "But I never had a dream, and an angel never appeared to me and said, 'This is the word of the Lord.'" Well, let me tell you what, the Bible is full of a variety of ways in which God spoke to everyday people. Over and over and over. So don't just think God is just, "Right, Steve, I don't ever dream. Well, God's never going to speak to me." No, God speaks through a variety of ways. God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Imagine that, right? It says he was walking in the garden. He called out to them, right? Speaking to them. It says God spoke to Moses through what? A burning bush. Actually, if you actually study that phrase, it's a bush that's on fire but not really on fire. It appears like it's on fire, right? And he speaks to him, right? You know, Moses is bringing his sheep across the same path that he might have been on a million times. And what? There's a bush that appears like it's on fire. I would probably stop too. Wouldn't you? If I came in, this garland was on fire, but it wasn't really on fire, I'd say, "Man, something's about to happen this morning." Huh? I'm the only one. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar through what? A dream. And more. And on occasion, he even used an animal. What did he use? Come on, quiz time. What did he use to speak to somebody? Donkey. A donkey. He could use a donkey. Yeah. Come on. But can I tell you what? He still speaks. You say, "Steve, he's never spoken to me through a burning bush in my yard. He's never spoken to me through a dream." But guess what? God is still speaking to us by his Son. Can I share some scripture with you just real quick? Hebrews 1 and 2 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets And at many times, and guess what I just said, and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He also made the universe. He speaks. He speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. Are we thankful for that this morning?
Amen.
Hebrews 3:7 says, so as the Holy Spirit says. That's a powerful phrase there. It's not as the Holy Spirit one time talked. It says, as the Holy Spirit says, present tense, still speaking, into our lives, into the world, but are we listening? He speaks in His Word. Come on. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is what? Is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. He speaks to us through His Word.
Amen.
And that's not it. You can go to Romans 1 and see that He speaks through creation. He speaks through nature. He speaks through one another. He speaks through music. Over and over and over. What I'm trying to say is God still speaks. If He wants to say something to you, He's going to find a way to speak into your heart and into your life. But the question is always, are we at the point today, this morning, where we want to hear Him speak? Come on. God speaks. God spoke to Joseph, and God is still speaking to His people. I can guarantee you, if you are in this building, God is trying to say something to you. He's always speaking. There's more here. God speaks to us personally. Personally. And we can go through that same thing, right? What did the angel say? Joseph. This is so simple. He said, Joseph, son of David. That's a powerful phrase. That is, I know you. I'm calling out your name, but I know you. I know you personally. I know where you came from. I know you. You are not a mystery. You're an open book to me. I know you, Joseph, son of David. And we can go on and on, right? Let's go back. What did He say to Adam? We talked about this when Jim taught in the men's class. He said, what? Where are you, right? Is that what God said to Adam? That's a personal question, isn't it? Where are you at right here at this moment? Personal. And we can go to Moses. What did he say? Out of the burning bush. Two words. Moses. Moses. It's easy, right? But yet what? It's personal. It's personal. God speaks personally. And when, or what did he say when he came to Mary to explain what in the world was going on? This is what he said in Luke 20-30. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, what? That she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I would wonder the exact same thing. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. I don't know to you, but this time when I've read the story, I just stop and think, oh, my Lord, I worship you because you know me personally and you speak to me personally. You know me by name. You know my thoughts. You know my experiences. You know what happened last week. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. But yet you're speaking to me personally. Wow. He is still speaking. I love this scripture in John 10, 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. He knows you, and He speaks to you personally. He is calling out your name this morning. Third thing here that I think is important for us. God can speak to us about what is going on with us. I love this. God can speak into your situation. How many of us are in a situation? Something happened this week. Didn't know it was going to happen. Didn't know, right? And yet you need somebody to speak some wisdom or some guidance into your life. You have something that you're facing. You have something that's going on. And if you're like me, sometimes you're like, God, please speak to me. And He does. He speaks to me by name. And He speaks to my specific situation and says the right thing at the right time with the right words to get me on the same page with Him. Isn't this what happened here with Joseph? Or this is what it says. God can speak to us personally. God spoke through an angel in one of his dreams about what he was facing. This is what he said in Matthew 1:20. But after he considered this, what was he considering? Let's just revisit the story, okay? There was quite a predicament going on here. All right, so one, he was engaged to Mary. Raise your hand if you have read that before. Okay? Because anyway, this is a little bit different than engagement here today in 2019. Just a shocker. I know you think, well, it's always been that way. Engagement was different. Engagement was just as binding as the marriage itself in this time. So it was two families entering into a formal contract, and it was more close to business than personal. There was even what's called a bride price, right? So what would happen if the engagement is broken? What would they have to do? They would have to pay the price. Binding thing, right? So it's a little bit different. Nowadays, we just get engaged to somebody, and if they don't work out, we just move on to the next one. No big deal. Hey, we tried. 6 months, you're out of here. I'll give 6 months to another person. One of these will work out. Can you imagine if you said, will you marry me? And they said yes, and that's binding just as, oh my. Help us. Help us all, right? No? Great. All right. Just want to see if we're there. But something happened on the way. Right? What happened? Somebody. What happened? What did Mary? What happened to Mary? She got pregnant. Raise your hand if that's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so. Sometimes.
So Mary was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That in and of itself is an unbelievable thing. Right? As we can all guess, this was a problem. Two major issues before Moses, before Joseph knew what was going on. Two major issues. One, this meant, before he knew what was going on, an angel showed up to him in a dream and told him what was going on. So before he knew what was going on, right? Two major issues. One, she would have broke the engagement. It was binding as a contract. She was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. What a tall tale that would have been to most people who would have heard that. That means what? This engagement's done. It's broken. You have to pay, right? All those things, all those stressors. But yet, there's another issue with this. According to the law, it was adultery. Joseph, being a man of the law, being a man of the word, right, being a righteous man, he knew what this meant according to their culture. This would have been a major humiliation. And what was the punishment according to the law? Stoning. Is that not a big deal?
Well, just like everything in America today.
No, this is a major issue. Major. Can you just imagine what this would have been? And all that, he cared about Mary. He said he didn't want to publicly disgrace her, which means what? He cared for her. He knows how this worked. Right? You just say, okay, man, I didn't do it. She did it. Break the thing, give me the prize, get this over with, humiliate her, I'm moving on. Right? But no, he cared about her. And so what was he considering? He was trying to go, what's the best way that I can resolve this based on my feelings for Mary? And it said what? It said he was going to quietly divorce her. That word divorce, you say, well, they're not even married yet. Hint why it's so important. Engagement then was just as binding. So he's like, how can I deal with this? I'm going to quietly divorce her because I don't want to humiliate her. I don't want to hurt her life. I want to resolve this that everybody's happy. That's what he was thinking about. But yet, this is what we see in the story. God showed up to speak to him in a dream through an angel. And what did God say? And I absolutely love this. Do not be afraid. Do you think there's fear at all in Joseph? Yeah! Come on! He was human. This would have been a big deal. I'm sure he's like, God, what should I do? But God showed up and spoke, said, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Did he not show up and speak personally about exactly what he was facing, to give him exactly what he needed to know for him to be able to do what only God had called him to do? God still speaks personally to his people, and he can speak so personally to you that he gives you the right words at the right time in the right situation, so that you know how to continue to be obedient to him and follow him and walk with him. That's how amazing that God is. Right? It's an amazing God. Sometimes it would do us good to consider the voice of God when we are considering what to do about something in our lives. We have to make room. Right? God's speaking, but are we listening? If you need a reminder, again, God speaks. He speaks to you personally. Gary, Sydney, Jim. Right? You thankful that God's speaking to you? You think, well, God, I'm hurting. Guess what? He has words for you this morning. I'm broken. God has words for you this morning. I have doubt. God has words for you. I'm in fear. I'm in anxiety. I have worry. God has words for you this morning. Just the right words to bring you life. He's amazing. But we have to be willing to hear. Right? I can't tell you Joseph's routine. I can't tell you how many times he prayed. I can't tell you what his devotional life was like. I can't tell you any of that stuff, but I can tell you this. He got himself to a point that if God was going to show up and speak a word into his life, that he was going to listen. See, we can all say, right, we've been in church enough, we can say that God speaks, and we can even say and agree that God speaks personally. We can even say and agree that God can speak even to our situation. But the thing is on us is, if he speaks, are we willing to cooperate? Are we willing to make room? Are we willing to put ourselves in a point where, God, I'm considering this. This is going on in my life. But yet, God, I need to speak. So I'm going to sit here and not move, sit here and not do anything so you can speak into this situation. God, I want you to move in me before I move and do anything else. I'm amazed in this birth story of Jesus that I see that over and over and over. He shows up. He speaks something into somebody's life, and they heard him and moved because of what he said. And I realized God is still speaking. So, just for instance, I bought this big Bible. Pastor Bill makes fun of this thing all the time. Oh, there's my notes from what I was supposed to announce earlier. The Word hid it from me. Just kidding. So there's this huge Bible, right? That was part of the illustration. So Pastor, every time I bring this, he's like, Steve, how are you? So God's supposed to speak through this, right? Or agree. I know some of you are stressed out about the papers on the floor. Come on, just hold on. You're like, Steve, you got to pick up those papers. I can't hear another word you're saying. In due time. So here's this word. We know the word, right? I read. God's word is what? It's alive and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the depths of who we are. This. And we agree. But the only way God is going to speak to me through his word is when I do this. The only way. I don't even know what that is. But not just coming here and opening it up. Getting into it. Spending time with it. Right? Getting to know God through it. What happens when you make enough room for this to speak into your life? Do you think God's going to do some amazing things through you that you never thought possible? Guess what? God has spoken into some of my situations 2,000 years before I ever arrived on the scene. He's speaking into your life. But here's the thing. You can have as many of these on a shelf as you want. Until you open this up, and until you read it, until you spend time with it, God wants to speak to you through this. Who's willing to listen? Time out. Time in. So God's going to speak through His Word. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. There's what's the ultimate test? See, here's the thing about hearing when you study it biblically. Hearing has two sides to it. There's another part of this that we have to understand if we're going to ask ourselves at the end of this, are we hearing like these people in the story heard? And we see it right here in verse 24. It says, when Joseph woke up, two most powerful words. When Joseph woke up, he did. I can stop right there. Because guess what? Sometimes we don't ever get to these two words. God speaks something into our heart, into our lives, speaks to our situation. But when we wake up, we go on just like He never spoke at all. But guess what? This was different for Joseph. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Or can I tell you this morning, the ultimate test of hearing God is doing. See, Joseph knew what hearing was. Hearing, in the Hebrew, is a word called Shema. And what's different in Hebrew is that Hebrew is a word-poor language. Hebrew only has 8,000 words. English is not a word-poor language. It's over 400,000. Right? So you have these 8,000 words. So the vast majority of them are multifaceted. They have two different sides. And one is the mental activity side, right? God's gonna say, see, we know hearing as, I hear what you're saying, and even to the point of, I understand what you're saying. Right? Is my mom here? There's plenty of times when my mom said things to me that I heard. I understand what you said, Mom. She always told me, don't put yourselves in situations that you cannot handle. I heard that. But I didn't really hear it. It registered in my mind to where I can go back to the days and the moments that she said that. And I understood what she was saying. Don't roll in to a place where everything around me is going to be horrible. Expect to come out of it unscathed, right? She was saying, protect yourself. Surround yourself with Christian people, with love. I understand that, but did I really hear her? See, that's the mental activity side. We can all raise our hand. God speaks. God speaks personally. God speaks personally in our own situations. We hear that. We understand that. We can even quote it back to somebody. We can even write it in a journal. That's one side of hearing. But the other side of this Hebrew word for hearing is doing. They go hand in hand. Hand in hand. For hearing, the Hebrew word describes hearing, mental activity. I understand what you're saying. I hear the words. I hear the sounds coming out of your mouth. But it's also its effects, which is doing. Joseph knew this. He knew this. Why? Why? He was a righteous man. He knew the law. He knew the word. He understood what this meant. When God speaks, the ultimate test on if I'm going, right, is if I'm really hearing Him, is if I'm going to live it out for Him. That's the test. And this is what he said. He did as the angel of the Lord told him to do. He did. Can I tell you what? Mary did. The shepherds did. The wise man did. Powerful story. Why? Because they heard from God. And they didn't just say, God, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to write it in a journal. A couple years later, I'm going to get it out and read it again. It's like, no, I want to hear what you're saying, and I'm going to live it out. Because I can say, God, gotcha. But God's going to wait on, but do you have it really? Because he's going to want to see it in our life. Hearing and doing go hand in hand. The true test of our listening is in what we are doing. Joseph did it. And guess what? We see this over and over and over in Scripture. It's amazing when you fast forward the story and you go into the latter parts of Matthew. But guess what? Some of Jesus' most powerful teachings are on hear and do. In Matthew 7, 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that parable before. Very interesting, right? Who is the wise builder? The one who built his house upon the rock. Who is the foolish one? The one who built his house upon the sand. Right? But really, it's the one who hears the word of Jesus and does them. And one who hears the words of Jesus and doesn't. See, we can all come in here and say, yes, we agree. God is real. God is moving. God speaks through His Son, through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. Yes, 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 yes. But yet, is it changing? The effect of that is it seen in our lives how He is wanting to move? Over and over and over, Jesus' half-brother said the exact same thing, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself, but what? Do what it says. For God to do the extraordinary through you, we have to do what we hear. Have to. Sometimes we shut off what God wants to do in us by thinking that all it takes is mental assent. All I have to do is say, yeah, God, you spoke and I understand it. I'm writing it down. Done. God's like, In other words, all it takes for us to acknowledge that God is speaking. Eric, can I tell you this? We all did that at the very beginning here. God speaks. Woo! God speaks personally. God speaks specifically to our situation. That's a mental assent. But yet, when He speaks and you make room, is it coming out into your life? Because that's when we hear, that's what it does. But there's more. I know you can't wait. One more really important thing here. The more we hear and do, the more He will ask us to do. See, sometimes we hear by steps. It's a step-by-step thing, right? And if you go through the rest of Joseph's story, he had a certain pattern in his life. This was his pattern. Hear, do, repeat. Hear, do, a repeat. Go through the story over and over and over. I marveled at it. Go to Matthew 2, 13 through 18. It says, an angel of the Lord again appeared to Joseph in a dream, and he said, get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Right? Angel showed up again. What did he do? He got up, took the child and his mother during the night and went to Egypt. He did it. God spoke and he did it. Fast forward more. Go to verse 19:20. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go where? Go back to Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life is dead. What did he do? He got up, took the child and his mom and went back. Hear, do, repeat. Right? But we're not done. He got a warning. Wait. The son of Herod is ruling. An angel came to the Lord, and this is what it says. So he went to a town called what? Called Nazareth in the district of Galilee. Why did he go there? An angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, this is what, right? Again, Oh, man, do you think he... I wish I had more time. Do you think he was worried about what was going to happen to his sweet little family? Do you think he felt responsibility on protecting them? And God saying, go back. He says, wait, God, this man is in power. He's the son of the one that wanted to kill him. What should I do? And it says an angel of the Lord showed up, spoke again through a dream, and said exactly what he should do. He did it. Over and over and over, God spoke. And he, the more he listened and obeyed, the more he trusted God. And the more he trusted God, the more he could be used by God. Right? Sometimes to be used by God, we must learn to hear Him step by step. I think one of the most powerful verses on this is Mark 4, 24 through 25. And this is what it says. It says, and it's Jesus, consider carefully what you hear. Guess what word probably was spoken there? Consider carefully what you hear. And he continued, the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Consider carefully what you hear. The measure you use, it will be measured to you. His words spoken to your life. Be careful what you hear. The more we act on what God has shown us through spending time with Him, the more He will continue to show us. Why should God show us the deeper things, the deeper truths, if we're not going to do something with the first thing that He's spoken into our lives? Sometimes hearing is step by step. He'll say, go talk to this person. You might think this is the... I don't even understand this. Something simple. Well, if you're not going to just do that one small thing, when He calls you to Africa, are you going to go? When He calls you into youth ministry, are you going to go? When He says get in the nursery, are you going to go? If you can't do the one thing of go and help, I don't know. But yet, what happens when you say yes? I think about Gary on this. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Gary. Gary's a fine young man. Young man. Right? His wife's like, no, he's not. So I saw Gary come to this church, and one of the first things I think that you did was you helped with open air, right? Yes. He said yes. And I remember the first class. And he talked about this in his testimony in a men's class on Wednesday night. Then he taught a men's class. And now he's in Royal Rangers helping disciple young men of God to become the men that God... Where do you think that started? Because God said, help. Just help. Volunteer. And he said, yes. Then God says, I want you to teach a men's class. Yes. I want you now to do something even bigger and greater. That's a part of my great commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. Gary, I want you to disciple these young boys. And Gary says, yes. Do you see the progression there? See, sometimes we shut that off right at the very beginning. Do this one thing. No, I understand what you're saying, but God, I got things going on. But yet, what if you do that? He says, now I want you to do this. Joseph, take Mary to be your wife, but now I'm going to use you to protect this family. Get them to Egypt. Get them to Nazareth, right? Why? Because we say, I hear you and I'm doing it. God, I don't know how it's all going to end up. God, I don't know if I have what it takes. God, I don't know if I have the skills. God, I don't know if I'm the person to do any of this. But here's what He's saying. I just want you to say yes. I just want you to do it. And watch what I do through you and in you while you do what you said that you cannot do. That's God. That is hearing and doing. That's what we see here over and over and over. And we see it throughout the entire Bible. But yet so many times I see this. God is speaking to somebody. They know He's speaking, but yet they never move in what He is saying. And they're stuck in the same point over and over and over and over until they say yes. And what happens? God starts to expand it. God starts to pour out Spirit even more. God starts to ask the things that they have no idea. Right? It's just an amazing, amazing walk with God. Right on display here with Joseph. Wow. But here's the other thing too. And I'm gonna bore on. I think this is the perfect place to close. Why is this so important? Why to bring this up? Because God has a purpose and a plan and a design, and God wants to accomplish it to us. I'm going to say it again. God has a purpose, a design, and a plan that's bigger than us. But yet, God is calling all of us to accomplish it. That's the truth. That's the truth. I think we could worship God right there. God, thank you that you see us unlike how we see ourselves. Hallelujah. That should be like a go home and go to lunch with somebody at Arby's. Guess what? My mind was blown today. God said He would use me more than I could. Oh my. Touche. Moving on. And here's where we see this. See, we have the benefit of reading from the beginning to the very end of it. Starting Genesis and reading. We can see God's plan. Let me tell you, if you've ever read the Bible all the way through, God's plan is on full display in glory and power. The plan was laid out in advance. And this is what we see, right? What phrase do you hear over and over and over in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus? I'll tell you. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. All this. Joseph saying yes. Joseph hearing. Joseph doing. Mary saying yes. Mary hearing. Mary doing. The shepherds saying yes. The shepherds hearing and doing. The magi saying yes. Them hearing and doing. Right, we go on and on and on and on and on. Laid out hundreds of years before it ever happened. They said yes and they did it. And he says, all of this took place to what? To fulfill what I had laid out hundreds of years before. What this plan I laid out at the very beginning when man fell. I had a plan to save you all. And yet here's Joseph being a part, an ordinary man, being a part of this amazing plan of God that he put out way in advance. And we go on and on, and I won't, but I can go through so many prophecies that came in to play here. Right? Somebody had to get married to Bethlehem. That was a prophecy. Micah 5:2. Everybody know that one? But you, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come for me. I love that. For me, one who will be ruler over Israel. Somebody had to get them there. And you go on, somebody had to get them to Egypt. That's a prophecy from Hosea 11:1. Somebody had to do that. That was his plan. Somebody had to get them to Nazareth. That was spoken all over the place. Somebody had to get them there. And we get to see when somebody hears God and they make room for God and they don't just hear Him but they do it, God can use them to do His plan. Hear, do, repeat. Can I tell you what? God's plan is still in effect for this world. Matthew 28:19-20. This is our commission as the body of Christ. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I, Jesus is saying this, everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you. I tell you what, this is not my commission. mine, but not just mine. This is ours. This is ours. Every single one of you, God is crying out your name. And if you make room for Him, He's going to speak something personally to you about your situation. Why? Because God wants to get you on the team that's going to do the work that He needs to do. Somebody has to be in line at Starbucks to be close to that person who is hurting, to hear them talking on the phone. And God's going to say, I want you to tell them about me. Somebody has to be that person. Somebody has to be at Walmart. Somebody has to be at Golden Corral. I don't care. Somebody has to be at work. I can't be in your workplace. But God has sent you into your workplace to help Him do His plan. And guess what? If you just listen and say, I'm not just going to hear your words, God, I'm going to do your words. Guess what? He's going to open something up to you that only you can do. That's going to fill up a plan that He put at the very beginning of time. Wow! Is this not the greatest story we could ever hear? See, we become cogs in the wheel when we don't hear and do. Have you ever said no to God? Have you? I have. 2 years ago, we had this thing every year. I don't know if you know it, but we had prayer week here at church. That's just a week. I'm sure we all pray, you know, throughout the year. Sure we do. But there's a week where we say, this is prayer week for the church. 2 years ago, and I love prayer week. I love to pray, but I love prayer week. I just, something's in the air. So I was coming these weeks and I say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Because my questions always say, God, how can I get more of you? Right? That's always my prayer. God, I want more. More, 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 more. So this, a couple years ago, He spoke something very specific to me. Because my prayer all week was, God, I want more of you. What can I do? I want to do more. I want to be more. I just want you to be more in me. Right? God, how's that happen? How can I take the next step? And God spoke this powerfully. And I wrote it in my journal. The only way, Steve, that you can truly be you is if you give me more room to be me in you. So what God is saying, Steve, if you want the me that I called you to be, right? If Steve's going to be the version of Steve that God has in mind, I have to give him more space. I wrote it down. Guess what happened the next year when I came back to prayer week? God, I want more. Steve, the only way you can truly be you, if you give me more room to be me and you, does me no good if I don't prepare and make room for Him in my life. But I don't think I'm the only one that does that stuff. I can tell you right now, God wants to do the extraordinary in the ordinary. I see it every day. But we're going to have put ourselves in a place where we hear not just knowledge, but when we say, God, I'm listening, I'm doing it.